Ocean FM.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Ocean FM, the IBA, and funded by Commission Le Mans with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
So, as you mentioned, I am Maria Dermick and I'm a lecturer in the Department of Health and Nutritional Sciences in ATU Sligo. And I'm supervising Shelley, who is actually doing her PhD on this project, which investigates the revalorization of food waste. And she explores how food waste, before actually they become food waste, they can be incorporated into different foods. And actually we have brought some muffins for you here.
Oh, great.
That Shelley and another student has developed. And I don't know if you want to try.
Oh, of course you will. So Shelley, tell me about the muffins.
Well, what we're trying to do is use the peels, and I'm focusing on food waste connected with fruit and vegetable predominantly, because a third of the foods produced don't reach our table. So that's a really scary statistic.
A very scary statistic.
And a lot of it is from horticulture, because it's a highly perishable product. So what we're trying to do is trying to capture what can be used. And a lot of those peels and trimmings that we would normally throw in our food bins, they have lots of nutrients that are being wasted. So what we were trying to do was trying to see, can we use banana peels, for example, that we would use quite a lot of bananas. And I know they're coming in. I've spoken to both consumers and stakeholders through my research, and bananas is one of the products that is really highly wasted, because we're bringing them in from different countries. They're being ripened here, and then they're also have risk of deteriorating as they're going through the supply chain, so getting from distributors to our supermarkets. There's a lot of waste generated through that.
So basically, I mean, I've seen this with regards to bananas, is, you know, there's a little bit of black on the skin and people just throw it away.
Yes, yes. And like, they can be used, like the actual flesh of the banana is much sweeter once they're riper, and you can make products, baked products with it. And a lot of people have been making banana bread over lockdown and whatnot.
I even made it myself.
It's become a trend. But we wanted to see, could we use the actual peel? So we found different ways of using it, and we managed to, by literally chopping up the banana peel and boiling it and then making it into a paste and incorporating it into the banana muffins. And we did some sensory panels there recently, and the product that we had combined, the flesh and the peel, were doing really well. People were selecting that as their preferred choice. So we haven't analysed the data yet. It's a very new study. So we're hoping that, you know, we get some good statistics out of that.
So you just said there that one third of the food in Ireland goes to food waste.
One third of food produced in the world globally does not reach our table.
I interviewed Funky, who has opened up a new shop in a new restaurant down in Sligo on Castle Street, and she's from Africa originally, and she was in Globe House when she moved here, and she told me that in Africa, like, they have absolutely no food waste, and she was shocked at the amount of food waste that we have here. Obviously you have seen that yourself, Maria.
Yes, and that's what inspired us to apply for funding for this research, because if we consider, like, if we think of food waste as a country, they would be the third country after US and China in the production of carbon dioxide. So there is a lot of waste, as food waste, that is being produced, and we are trying to use the nutrients that would go to waste. Don't waste the resources that are needed to produce the food. So that's why we're investigating the use or the reuse of products that
you know, like we said, the banana peel, and people think that, of course, you know, maybe it's not edible. It has to go through a little bit of processing before, as Shelley mentioned, in order to be able to reuse it. So when we're saying food waste, it doesn't mean that we can use everything.
Obviously not.
So we have to use edible parts, and we have to use them before they actually go off and before they actually become waste. So this is very important to have in mind.
Okay, can I just ask you, we have food waste reduction targets. They've been set up by the EU, along with all the other targets that we have to achieve. It doesn't look like we're going to achieve this in 2030. We will have had to have reduced our food waste by 50%. What do you think is the likelihood of that happening?
The reality is that this is quite hard. There are a lot of barriers, both for consumers, but also for stakeholders. So when we mean stakeholders, we mean people working in the food supply chain. Shelley has just published recently the study from her PhD, where she interviewed people across the fruit supply chain, starting from primary producers to retailers, also people in the food catering. So there are a lot of challenges. It is difficult, as I mentioned, because there aren't enough incentives. There is a lack of communication between the different stakeholders, but maybe also Shelley, because she did the interviews, could also explain a few more things on the subject.
Okay, so Shelley, what are the likelihoods that we will come anywhere near these targets of 50% reduction?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose each country has been assigned their specific targets because they've been submitting their amounts of waste. They've had to submit from 2021, 2022, those values are going in. So each country is getting their own, each EU country is getting their own targets. And they are working towards that. And I think the stakeholders have already been focusing on prevention for economic reasons, for the most part. And they're trying, I think, their best, but they are hampered through food safety regulations or consumer choice. You know, we have an onus on the individual as well to consider what we're purchasing in the stores, because we've grown accustomed to getting the perfect product or the freshest product, and we will pick those over something that might, you know, that we could buy and maybe use up quickly. So we need to maybe change our own mindset. So as Maria said, I think it involves every stakeholder, including consumers, to come together to try and achieve these targets.
Well, do you remember a couple of years ago they had wonky vegetables wonky fruit? And actually, I haven't seen that for a long time, but that was, you know, this is obviously part of what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and they tried that, and consumers I spoke to said that they liked that and they would have bought that, but then it wasn't available. So I think the supermarkets might have tried it as a trial, but they're also under their own company restrictions and companies, coming together to try and get the best price, and they're competing with other stores. So there's an awful lot more going on in the background. But I think, if we all stand together and say we want to buy these products, we want to see these products available, then changes might happen. But I think it needs to be really a combined effort across all stakeholders, consumers right through to the end.
Okay, well, I think we're at the beginning in some ways of the education of this journey. A term now that people are going to be hearing a lot more as this is becoming more and more discussed is circular eating. I heard this about circular fashion, I think, the other day. So can you explain to the listeners what circular eating is, Shelley?
Yes, well, circular eating is really what we've been talking about. It's taking that edible, safe material before it reaches the waste and bringing it back into the food supply chain, either as a food ingredient or a food in its own right. And that's what we're trying to do, is we develop these products. So circular eating, the banana muffins using the peel would be an example of that. But in industry, then they might develop new products, or they might be able to extract nutrients from that material and use that as an ingredient to supplement or fortify buy another product. So it's getting the safe products and bringing it back in, and it's in a circular, I know I'm making hand gestures now, but it's that circular process of bringing it back into the supply chain.
Well, another thing that came out recently was the use by and best before dates.
Yes.
There was a lot of media attention to those, you know. So they sort of say smell and see.
Yeah.
And obviously that is all feeding into what you're talking about as well.
And it does. It came into my research too, because people are starting, you know, some people really look at the use by dates, look at the best before dates, and then make their own judgment. Mm. You know, encourage people to maybe freeze before things are going off, you know, use your fridge and freezer better to manage food waste, eat your leftovers, that type of thing. But best before dates, yeah, they are looking at reviewing these, because they're putting a date on something that would be essentially okay, and people are treating a best before date, which means it's best before this date, but it's still safe after. Whereas a use by date is a very kind of strict food safety, you know, beyond the use by date, it may not be safe. So there's a distinct difference between those two.
There is, and in fairness to anyone who's doing grocery shopping, and we all have to do it, you know, you could actually think it's the same thing, but you're absolutely right. So then this is where they brought in the smell and see test, that
yes,
if you just
exactly.
open the packaging and smell, you'll know yourself. Now, you are looking for people to get involved with a focus group. So who wants to tell me about that?
It's Shelley's again. Work.
This is Maria Dermiki, in case anyone's just tuned in.
Yes. So, as part of what Shelley's trying to do, as we said, we have brought some muffins for you here with banana peels. But in reality, what we want to do is we want to involve the consumers in the development of different foods and the use of these the different ingredients. So Shelley's doing a focus group, and she's looking for people who would be interested in participating.
Shelley, you're looking for people to take part. How would they get in touch? Or is there a website? Not a number, just a website?
Can I give an email address?
Yeah, an email address.
If they want to email me at shelley.fox@research.atu.ie if they're interested. I'm looking from anybody age over 18 plus, really. I'm going to look at kind of under 40s and over 40s to do focus groups, and they'll be looking at, we'll give them some information on food waste, and then we're going to hopefully take some of those ingredients that we talked about that we would normally discard and make some products, and we'll see, you know, what ideas are generated, because consumer-led product development is really the way we need to be moving if these products are going to be accepted.
Yes, absolutely. And just on a final note, different products that can be created by reusing fruit and vegetables that would normally go to waste, of course, soups and crisps made from apples and carrot peels and muffins, as you have with us this morning. So a very good focus group to get involved in. Maria Dermiki and Shelley Long, thank you very much indeed for joining us on this morning's Northwest Today.
Ocean FM.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Ocean FM, the IBA, and funded by Commission Le Mans with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.